44 million Americans are diagnosed with a mental health challenge. And the stats show that 1 in 5 Americans will be diagnosed within their lifetime. And those stats are getting worse. Unfortunately, World Health Organization, they highlight that it's 1 in 4 globally. So it's even worse globally. So we have a huge, huge challenge. 800,000 people are taking their lives every year around the world. And there's 16 plus million attempts of suicide. This is a crisis. And we see it with, shows up as PTSD. It shows up as addiction. It shows up as depression, anxiety, panic, bipolar, schizophrenia. It shows up in these labels that are out there. But the reality is we've got some major challenges.
Illinois resident Mark Hattis, diagnosed with a mental illness, is co-founder of nonprofit Journey's Dream.
Well, I built and sold a company, and 9 months later, I was diagnosed bipolar 1 after a massive mania experience, and went into and out of hospitals for 3 years, was told that there's no cure, and that I'd be on the medications, which were really heavy medications, and I could plan on that for the rest of my life. And so the transformation began after a suicide attempt in 2014 that failed. And I realized, you know what? If I'm going to live, I'm actually going to live. And so I went to my doctor, told him, you know what? I got to find people who believe what I believe, which is I can get fully well and you don't. And I found some practitioners who were amazing and body, heart, mind, spirit, emotions, the whole package got completely transformed.
Actually met Mark, our co-founder of Journey's Dream, at my son's memorial.
Mitzi Montag-Bauer is the mother of Journey Montag-Bauer.
3 weeks after my son Journey died, I was heartbroken and, as you can imagine, devastated. I didn't know how I was going to get through the next day, let alone the rest of my life. And I put out a plea to the universe. A rant, actually, more accurately, and just ask for clarification or guidance. I just didn't know what I was going to do. Prior to Journey's death, in the 2 years prior, both of my sisters died, and my niece died, and my business that I had been co-creating for 10 years closed. And then my son died. And so I had a lot of spare time and a lot of pain. And I just asked for the next thing to be so apparent and obvious, and that it should be, I didn't have the heart or energy to go looking for anything. And so here I am. 4 years later, and I did ask for it to be undeniable, and it's kind of hard to deny it because it has my son's name in it. So Journey's Dream is an organization, a support hub for folks that are touched by mental health challenges, their families and individuals. It came from a lack of resources when I felt like I needed them most, when I felt like my son needed them most. That desire helped to inspire Journey's Dream. We went from experiencing a confident, well-adjusted, smart, funny, college-bound child or student, adult, to towards the end of his college degree, just someone who was struggling to navigate, who's having compromised thinking. And as a result of that, was hospitalized and medicated, and then came home from, this was after he graduated undergrad school, and then he ended up coming home, and the next 3.5 years were another 7 hospitalizations, treatment centers. During that time, I just spent every spare moment looking for some doctor or someone of a treatment that actually believed in wellness and actually believed my son could get well and come through the other side of it with a bright future. But I wasn't really finding them. I just didn't believe the prognosis that he would be sick forever. And that he was told that and told that he would be dependent on medication and no, wouldn't likely go to graduate school. And by the way, you need to be on Medicaid to pay for these hospitalizations. And it was just a message that was, I just didn't want to believe it and I didn't want him to hear it. But that was the message we got. And I say this because all of the people who, the doctors, the therapists, everyone I met were caring, loving people. So there's the rub. Everyone was doing their best. It's just, it feels like the system doesn't, it's limited. You know, that message is a limiting message. So finally, right before Journey died, he admitted himself to the hospital. And I was hopeful because I felt like him going meant something different than him being taken against his wishes. And a few days after he was discharged, he was still in the care of the mental health system at a step-down unit. He told his staff he was going out for coffee on a Sunday morning, and he would see him later that day. He went and bought some groceries and put him in his room, and he took the bus into East Lansing and walked on top of a parking garage and stepped off. And he died.
Journey had a belief he could get well, and he was so compassionate and wanted to help other people. And there was a concept he had in his mind that maybe, and you'll probably hear this from Mitzi, but maybe he actually was trying to fly. Now, that sounds crazy to most people, but he was on six different kinds of medications. And I think what might have occurred is if he could fly, then he could prove that he could do anything, including heal a mental illness. And I would love it to see Journey's family and all the other Journeys out there and all the other families, instead of having to go through what Montague Bowers and Wallens had to go through, what if they could find a resource that they would have hope? So, A, there's not a single solution for every single person. There are many types of treatments out there. So what we're building at JourneyStream.org is a hub of resources so that you can, and we're in the process of continuing to build it, you can put in a zip code. So this doesn't exist yet. This is the vision. You put in a zip code and you find the practitioners in your area that believe that you can get well. And we need to meet people where they are, because if someone's struggling with depression, they're not going to be in the same place as someone who might be in a mania episode, or maybe struggling with panic attacks or anxiety. So really meeting people where they are and providing the practitioners that are optimal to support them. Once someone's stable, and that can be a combination of medication, you know, it could be a number of different things, then there's a lot of things that we provide in terms of programs so that we can retrain the brain and we can readjust some of the belief systems that are leaving a person in recycling patterns. And ultimately what we found is as we go through that releasing process, those patterns stop. And instead of being a controlling aspect of their life with negative and destructive outcomes, they move into very constructive outcomes. And it's almost like their personal code of how they respond to situations, it changes. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
And you have professionally had to switch gears. You're a Naperville resident. You started a $20 million a year tech company. And now it's as though all of that information that you've learned over the years professionally is now being poured into something which I can only imagine means so much more to you today.
It is. And I built a company between 1998 and I sold it in 2010. But in 2006, I knew there was something calling me to change, but I resisted it because I didn't know what it was. You know, what would I do? And so it was almost as if my early career as an entrepreneur, without that backing, Journey's Dream wouldn't exist, because it required that depth of understanding of business to then apply it to something that has not traditionally had this kind of vision. We have rallied associations, organizations. We had hundreds of people show up at Soldier Field in Chicago two nights ago. And it's because there's a vision that we're all coming together around, that all people can live healthy, joyous lives.
Gifts for the Greater Good Philanthropy in West Michigan is underwritten by the Grand Rapids Community Foundation. I'm Patrick Center.